Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 103 for November 19th, 2019. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Kosmeter, and I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I put the list of top requests together. That was in the email I sent out a little while ago, if you saw that. And so we're going to be going through as many of those as we can today. Today, I have arranged for Felix Frey and Jim Kenny to be here, and Jim will be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thanks a lot, and thanks for everybody for being here. Felix, it's Fry or Frey?
Fry.
Fry, that's what I thought, like Fry. Glenn Fry from the Eagles. I thought we went over that already. Okay, so anyway, Felix is here for, today from Options Geek, and before we get started, for the people who are not familiar with Felix, a little background on yourself, Felix, and what's going on at Options Geek?
Sure. So again, my name is Felix Frey. I've been on Wall Street for about 25 years now, almost. Started in 1995. I've worked at the several of the big investment banks and a top hedge fund. My career has been mainly in options, advising the top 1% of investors in the world. On the investment banking side, I actually traded against them daily, providing them liquidity on options transactions. So I know how they think, what they're looking for, and how they like to trade options. I then worked at Scoggin Capital Management, and that's where I worked side by side with two of the best guys in the world. I left there in 2015-16 and started on this venture. And what Options Geek is really tries to teach people how to trade like the best guys in the world. And what makes me different and makes Options Geek different is a focus away from the Greeks and implied volatility and focus more on risk reward and target stock price and confidence.
Gotcha. And that is different because most people are tied up into the Greeks and volatility measurements. And so that's totally a different approach and a value for people to find out about at the end of the broadcast. We've got a list here, about 15 stocks, about halfway through. We're going to flip it over to Felix to get some of his personal favorites that he's kind of focused on. But let's get to the list, start out with Coop, COUP, Coop Software. Obviously, it's a sector that has been doing pretty good. This company, it looks like it's still losing money, though, and but it's had a huge run, you know, tripling in price from the 52-week low about a year ago to where it is now. So what are you seeing on this one? Big runner on future?
This one's interesting. You know, it's in this pile of Coop, Okta, OKTA, and ServiceNow. You know, the stock, they want to take this down. The market wants to take this down. I think if you take a step back, and actually Microsoft is the next one. Before we go into Coop, you know, I want people to understand, you know, the way I look at the world is, you know, you look at the leaders and you look at Microsoft. Microsoft is $1.15 trillion. In the last, call it 2 weeks, it's gone from 140 to 150. That's 10 points. That's about 7%. So 7% on a trillion-dollar company, let's just call it, it's about $75 billion of market cap that just went up in Microsoft in the last 2 weeks. $75 billion. So then you take a look at the software universe, and Coop is one of them, right? You have, you know, you look at this stock, it's got a high valuation. It's one of these things where the P/E is off the charts. They took it up here in 2019, clearly from 50 to 150. You know, it's supposed to go down, right? It's supposed to go up, and the stock then comes off, and then this hasn't come off. It's been 6 months. They've tried their best. ServiceNow is down. Okta, all these software names. And the only thing I can think about is they're just doing a relative value trade with a leader like Microsoft or with SAP or whoever can buy these guys out. You know, it doesn't take much, right? So a Coop, let's just look at Coop's market cap. I think
it's 61 billion. $10 billion. Yeah, $10 billion.
Microsoft could do that with nothing if Microsoft wanted them, right? With like nothing. They just made $80 billion in the last 3 weeks on their thing. So this is what's going on. So it's hard to value these companies, you can't really just say, oh, it's got no PE, you know, the market cap is $9 billion. Do I think it's highly priced? Yeah, by itself, it's probably not worth $10 billion. But when you have Microsoft worth $1.15 trillion and just gained $80 billion, and they can just say, you know what, we like Coop for this reason, I'll pay $165. Microsoft's going to get hit for $3, $4, $5, whatever it is for that day, but they just own another company and they paid all in stock. And so when I look at Coop, I get nervous to try to short this thing or try to time the short. Eventually, what will happen is, you know, Microsoft and all the big software companies and the market needs to come off. And when the market comes off, it's going to trade 150, it's going to trade to 90, you know, but can I pick that now? I mean, this is a tough tape, right? You know, to just go out and say the market's going to crash tomorrow or the next day or the next week. It's a very tough tape to say that. So in this case, I would have to say I wouldn't like to short it. If I was long it, I would definitely look at some, you know, some options place to try to find an area where, you know, I could protect myself. You know, people have been trying to buy puts in this name over the last 6 weeks. This Okta, now all these big high flying names. But I would say, you know, something like, just looking up here, some vols about, I mean, I just don't like going crazy buying puts here. But if you're long the name, I would say, you know what, you can buy something like the one. It's not going to come cheap. These things don't come cheap and they're not super liquid. So
the short interest is almost 20% of the stock.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going to happen when someone Bloomberg puts out a rumor that someone's going to take them out? The thing goes to 180 quick, right? you know, 135 doesn't cost that much to get a reporter to put out an article like that. 135, 460 for the 460 for the 135 puts against, give yourself some room, the 170s, the 165s, the 170s. So you would buy the four, you would pay 460, just call it four and a half, and sell the 165s at 3.25, the 170s at 2.25, something like that to allow yourself to stay in the stock and not worry about the downside, and then take 20 something points over the next 2 months, or the next month, 5 weeks. You get the China trade and just see where the market's going
to
go.
What do you want to go back to Microsoft and just to give a little further detail on what do you think of that?
I think the last time we spoke, I mean, Microsoft always pops up, and you know, I look at, this is how I do it. I go 2 years out, and I think about what my 7-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter would say if I asked them, which way is this stock going? And if they said it was going down, then I'm going to look at it and say, okay, they're looking at that. Anyone's going to look at this stock and say, it's going up, right? In August, September, this was just, again, it's just sideways action after a big run up. From here to here, it should go down. A normal stock should go up and down in waves. This goes up, stays sideways for 5 months, and then just takes off on this deal with the government, which is a huge, huge deal. It's a huge deal. And game changing. I don't know, you know, what are the effects for Amazon? That's another stock that I don't like. But, you know, so this is to me a new stock. 140, 142, good volume right around this area. There's millions and millions of shares transaction at 135 to 140. So this gets to 150. I would collar this though here, and I would do it with a put spread, buying a put spread and selling an upside call. So buying the 150, 145, let's just take what something like that looks like to get me to the new year.
And through this December 15th tariff possibility.
Right. So 150, 145. I mean, most, you got to believe that they just took it from it traded 130 to 140 for almost 5 months. Okay. Almost 5 months. That's about 10 points, 9 points, call it $9, $10. $9, $10 plus 41, 42 is about 151, right up to where we got them. So if they were going to do it and they're going to follow this sort of pattern right up here, that's where we are. So let's just say, okay, if it gets down back to like 140, the gap here, 140, and we can just look at it now. Right around here. So 142 is about the level where you would expect people to come in and start buying the stock. I call this almost, you know, this is almost like a new stock. This is a new Microsoft, right? There's a gap here on good volume, 35 million shares. They took it above the 5-month highs. It's a new stock. They take it up here. You got to let them break. If you want to short this stock, you got to let them break the 140 level here. It's better, meaning it's better to short the stock at 135 going down than to try to short the stock here. So I would buy something like the 147.5, 142.5. Let's just see what that costs. But they don't have that here. So 145, 140 there for $1. Okay, $1. What do I got to give up? The 160 is another $10, another 7% in Microsoft over there. It could happen. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'll pay a quarter for that. I'm going to protect myself from 145 to 140. And I'm in case a China deal doesn't happen, I still think the buyers pop up around. I mean, why wouldn't they? They were there for 5 months over the last 6 months. 140 is probably where they pop up. I'll protect myself for 5 points, half of the move down, and I will have to give up 160, which is another 7% higher. I think there's probably a dividend in there, and that'll cost me a quarter. To me, that's a no-brainer.
And a lot of times when they break out above that resistance, they sometimes come back and test the resistance, and then if that test is successful, then you really could be off to the races further down the road, right?
That's right. So just in that same theme, the name that I look at very dear to me is this Disney, right? This Disney, same thing. When it broke out, it was, you know, people got scared because of this move, right? It's this move right here that people say, oh my God, it's up $20, $25 in 3 weeks. You can't look at it that way. It's no longer this Disney. This Disney and this Disney are two different stocks, okay? This is a Disney with Disney Plus and everything else now going on for it. This is the Disney that didn't have Disney Plus. So this area right here, 125, you could see it came down. Like you just said, it tested that gap move where everybody had to buy that move where people were buying, and it took off. So you're looking at a new Disney here. It's zero. So that's just, you know, going back to what you said, testing that breakout. So can it test that? Absolutely.
Yeah. Right now we're going to switch over to a company that's in a 2-horse race, and thank God for that, because the news on this company this year has been nothing worse than terrible. And this is Boeing.
Another one. I mean, let's just take a look at this stock. Everyone, I mean, this happened. It was a disaster. And everybody thought it was game over for Boeing, right? The stock didn't move. If you just look at it over the course of 2 years, the stock has traded 341. This is telling you, I mean, it just tells you that this is not, right now, it's not going down. The market is sort of looking past its troubles, and it looks like it wants to go up, unless something, you know, another plane falls out of the sky or something happens where, you know, things change. But I mean, this is just telling you it's Teflon here. It's not, you know, it's hard to short that stock.
And a lot of the things with the CEO coming to Washington, that's behind them now. And then the FAA and all the people that are going to do the judging, that's going to be behind them. So I think people are saying in a 2-horse race with Airbus. This is not a company that, and I guess they've got 9 million of these 737 Maxes in the hangars ready to be delivered once somebody gives them the blessing, right?
Right. I just, there's more people in the world, you know, other countries are going to need to buy planes, you know, for the next 20 years, you know.
The wealth of the world is growing, which probably makes more people mobile, right?
That's right. That's right. So this one, I would look for, I don't know. I mean, until it breaks, calls are going to be too expensive with a stock that goes between 330 and 380 for 2 years. It breaks down from 310, 320, or breaks through sort of this 390 level. I mean, again, then I like it. This looks, this high here to this, it looks like a little bit of a triangle, right? It looks a little bit like a flag. If you wanted to look at it, it looks a little bit like this. Okay. And, you know, and if we can get through 390, you can see it off to the races, of, you know, up to 460. So that's, if you wanted to, I would wait, but if you wanted to sort of play that, you know, let's just take a look at Boeing. Let's see what Boeing's earnings are. Boeing's earnings are on, it just came out with earnings, so the next earnings are in late January, February. So we'd have to go to February options, 395. It's expensive. I don't have anything to do here. It would be expensive to, I would wait. It's probably, I would just wait. I have nothing to do here. I would wait. I don't see anything really. When something's doing this, it's not really an options play. You know?
Yeah, 380 to 400 is a zone that they're going to probably need to have some pretty good news to get through, huh?
Exactly. There's got to be something in there. And granted, if it does go through, it goes to four. I mean, but at that point, you know,
it'll blow out the highs. Yeah,
you're paying for it right now.
Could you explain a little bit about how the MACD might come into your decision making? The bottom chart.
Sure. So I look at this. The MACD. What I do for the MACD is I look for highs and lows. I look for a MACD price diversion for highs and lows. Let's just take. What's something that's you know, Microsoft here. So Microsoft, you know, this is, it's just all going up. So that's no good. It's just trying to find a normal, there's not many normal stocks. So it works better. It works better for me with normal stocks, but let's just take Tesla. How about Tesla? Tesla's whipping around. I'm calling Tesla normal, which is, I don't know what that says about me. Okay. So here's one where, you know, the stock is hitting, this is the turn here. So the way I look at it is the stock makes a move, comes back down. So this move should match the MACD move, right? The MACD is essentially a moving average, you know, oscillator. So it's gonna mimic what should mimic what's going on here. So this is going up. I'm sorry, the price goes up, the MACD goes higher. It steps off. I call it like steam, like the pressure of the stock, right? So stocks comes off a little bit, the MACD's coming off, starts moving back up, messing around over here, and then takes off. Now it's at its highs. You know, that by itself to me doesn't make it a short here. What would make it a short would be for it to pull back, right? And then have the stock rip higher without the MACD high, without the MACD reaching a high. So that would be the divergence. Right now, the stock is a high, the MACD is a high. If the next high in the price doesn't corroborate with the next high in the MACD, then to me, that would signal that it's going up with less, you know, force, less
conviction. Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
How about throwing up Apple real quick? Because, you know, the unanimity of opinion on Apple has never been greater.
The stock is incredible. There's nothing to say. The stock's incredible. Stock is a home run. It doesn't stop. It's, you know, the thing is, let's look at this here. You know, the one thing that makes me a little, I mean, it didn't even budge today when, Kohl's stores, you know, representing, Kohl's stores, Macy's, you know, representing the retailer. Does it say something about online buying, you know, versus Amazon? Sure. Right now, I think it's becoming a bigger race. It's Amazon, Walmart, and Target versus everyone else.
Right.
And throwing, you know, maybe Nordstrom in there, maybe, but it's those guys versus everyone else. And you know, you got everyone else hurting. And so Macy's got killed today. Kohl's stores was hurt today. And I thought, does that say something about the retailer, or does it say something more just about the retail landscape? Apple didn't move. It didn't really budge. It was off, you know, 30 bips today. I mean, it didn't budge. The market didn't budge. This is a scary market. It's a tough market to trade. I think it's going to surprise people both ways. My opinion on the market that you might see a, you know, you could see a $5 swing up and in the same day, a $10 swing down when something happens. I've seen this before. I just don't know how to, you know, it's painful to be long puts here in Apple.
Oh yeah. But if you stop making new highs and you then look at the MACD and then you look at the 200-day moving average and you've stopped making new highs where you have some price to defend against.
That's right.
You certainly would say that setup is a little frothy.
It's more than a little frothy, yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't sell things that make a new high every single day. You have to obviously wait for the fish to get tired before you try to reel it in.
Yes. And this one, I mean, they've made it painful. I would simply say you can buy some put spread. This is just more of risk reward management or portfolio. Buy a put spread, sell an upside, call for, you know, that you could do it to the 285. I was looking at this before. So I wish I owned stock. So to get you through January, you can buy the 260, 250 put spread for $3. Call it somewhere around $3 and sell the 290s at around $2. Okay. So for a dollar, I can protect the 260, 250 put spread and give up anything at 290 for the next 8 weeks during Christmas. I mean, I don't know. To me, that looked like a no brainer.
It'll look more like a no brainer if it stops making new highs. Huh?
Exactly.
All right. Let's turn our attention to a company that wants to rule the world, but they're finding out it costs a lot of money to try to rule the world, and that's Uber.
Yeah, this one, the shorts have been pressing in the options market. They've been pressing for the last 3 months. I think it might be getting a little tired down here, but they've been pressing. Even when it made this move in October, the shorts were buying puts. They were buying the 26s, the 27s, 28s. So they've been on this, and you know, the CEO has sold some stock. You know, I don't. This is a tough one because they also don't make it cheap for you to buy puts here, right? Mm. So while people are buying, it is an overvalued stock. The question is do they take this all down in one shot? There's Uber. Maybe it's not picking up. Let's go over here.
Do they turn it into a Groupon?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Uber. I'll go on this one. Uber.
It looks like a low volume rally towards 30 could happen on some good news simply because it's so oversold.
Exactly. It's one of these where the shorts are on it, but they have, I think they buy these puts. For example, like a big short, what they're going to do is they're going to manage these moves. So they buy these cheap puts, the 26 puts, and it's not surprising that the stock is kind of holding there because when it gets there, they're covering that stock. They're covering stock, they leave the puts on, and then they have their short. The stock rallies, they take those bullets and reshort the stock. So,
okay, let's go a little slower on that because that does make a lot of sense. You buy a 26 put in this example, and then basically if you go down towards 25, 50, or 26, which it did.
Let's go. So here, right over here at 32 right. bucks, they were paying for these puts, the 26 puts, okay? So they're short. So you got to think these guys are short. They're on it. They've been short all the way down. They keep pressing.
Right.
At some point, they get, they got to manage at risk. They just can't be, the whole fund can't be short. So they buy puts for a dollar going into December puts because of, November puts because it was the IPO, the lockup period. And so they, as the stock comes off,
right,
they're buying back their stock, their short right. stock, but which we can't see, but that's them. They're the ones holding the stock up here. And yeah. then they have the puts, for the next couple of weeks, or maybe they roll out the puts to like another strike. And now they just have the puts. So that's right. that's good risk management. That's, the shorts are really good at that.
Because if they stop the music and everybody wants to grab a chair, you want to have the least amount of money on the table when that music stops.
That's right. Yeah. You want an example? I think, we talked about it. So now we talked about Coop, which is in the same. Look at Now. Now was being shorted relentlessly here. It broke 250. It was going straight down. Okay. Then all of a sudden out of nowhere, bang, up, and it trades because the new CEO is going to come in a little bit earlier, 275. This is a humongous move. This is a big fake out here on the sort of this breakdown. Hits this level, which is what you were saying earlier, exactly where this breakout was, this big gap, comes right into that range, literally down, up, has this sort of, the morning star type of thing, and V back all the way up to that. This is a massive, massive move. So Uber, going back to Uber again, this is a wild game to play. If you asked me to pick something, I would continue pressing the short, but I would do it with puts, and I would probably pick because I want earnings and I just want to hear them tell the story again that it's not working. You can pick the January. You might not get it here. It's likely not. You're not going to get it.
Oh, you got the earnings. Yeah. When's the earnings next time?
It says January 17th to the 28th right there. So late January, but the way it's priced, the market is saying that you're not going to get January. So you can just eyeball it. They're telling you it's going to be in March. So the March 25 puts at $1.90 and you got 4 months to take a look at this. I would start like nibbling at it. And then let's see what the open interest. Let's see if anybody's even in March. They're all in January. See, they bought right here. They're all in December. They're all in January. And then there's 200,000 in March. So in March, they're all the way down to the 20s, which is likely, I don't know if they would have sold them, but this looks like, you see this one right here, the 20s. Let's just see how much the March 20s cost. So this is how the shorts play the game. The March 20s, I bet you they're cheapies, throwaways, 60 cents, right? So there's 60 cents and a short guy is going to buy, if he's got a lot of, these big funds, they'll buy 20,000, 30,000 of them. Okay. It's nothing. It's literally nothing. $1.8 million is nothing to some of these guys. And now they're short. If it starts getting down to 23, 22, 21, and they're short, they're going to cover all their stock and they're just going to let the 20s go. They'll have that bet until March. If it pops, gets back to 26, 27, then they start shorting. So that would be an example. When you look at some of these names, you can just look at the open interest and you could start sort of getting a gauge as to whether or not where they are, like where they're positioned. Like this one already, they were probably long, they've covered already there, that they've already covered, and then they went down to the 25s. That's already, that's probably still in play, and they probably, these is for 60 cents. They might have sold them, but I don't think so. I think this is the one where I don't think that they would be selling that. It might be a big put spread, but I don't think so.
Yeah. This next one up, beyond Uber. And of course, Uber's problems also is competition is not getting any less. Every time I have my son look for us to get an Uber to go someplace that we don't want to take the car. It seems like Lyft is always cheaper, so I don't know if that means anything.
That's interesting.
With regards to VNQ, you know, the TLT went way from 150 down to 135. It held that 135 mark. Now it's bounced towards 139. Similar, we went from 95 down to 90 on the Vanguard Real Estate, and now the thing is, are we going to, have we seen the bounce back in yields towards 2% and it's over? And are we going to see a stock market decline? And if so, is the defensive trades like utilities and REITs going to come back into the picture? And I think those are the questions that would it be, you know, you'd want to know if you're looking at VNQ.
Yeah. You said the TLT, just to go right back to, you had asked me, yeah. I wanted to find a scenario where the MACD, you know, how I look for highs and lows. So yeah. here's a situation where the TLT went up, the MACD went up, made a new high. The TLT came off a little bit. It came off down here. The MACD was coming off. And then it went, it made another, you know, barely made a new high, but played around here. But the MACD, you see, wasn't sort of following.
Yeah, divergent.
And that was a little bit of a divergence. So that would just be a clue, one clue out of many to say, hey, be careful that it's running out of steam here.
Right.
But the VNQ, I don't know this. I've never even heard of this, the Vanguard Real Estate ETF. So
yeah, it's an ETF for REIT.
For the REITs. Mm-hmm. You know, one REIT that, you know, I guess it's hard for me. These are hard because the REITs are, you have to look at them on an individual basis to sort right. of, you know, to get, this has all the REITs I'm sure in it. And so it's probably okay. But if you're looking at, like, I've seen put buyers in this REIT. So you look at MAC, Masserich. This has to do with the sort of the retailers, the ones that have the stores, Abercrombie and Fitch's, the Victoria's Secrets. And they're in the malls, you know, so this one doesn't look that great. The story here is that it's got a huge dividend and a huge dividend yield. And so people think, oh, it's huge dividend yield, it's safe. But this is not trading well. Like I look at, you know, again, you look at this one. Let's just go.
I don't think it's paying 30%. So there goes your principal, right?
Exactly. So this right here is just not a good stock. It's holding this 27 level. There were 27 put buyers, 27 and a half put buyers in January recently that looked like they knew what they were doing. And I think they're looking for something, you know, some news out of here to go lower. This is just a bad stock.
Right, yeah, and the REIT situation, you know, with the Vanguard thing, you know, obviously they're buying into that for the diversification so that one of the MACs does not screw up your whole portfolio.
That's right. That's why I say the REITs and was it VNQ? Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's trading well. I think this is just a market stock. If the market hangs in there, this thing will do all right because interest rates probably, my guess is that interest rates go lower.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the trend. We'd had a pop back against the trend, but now the trend might be reinvigorating itself.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
Let's do one more and then get into your stuff. Right now, we're looking at CVS. That's a stock that's been screaming to the upside this year.
Like, what do you say about these stocks, right? You could have shorted it here. You could have shorted it here. Yeah. I've been trying to catch these stocks. Like, it's a good lead into what I'm looking at. I'm basically looking at trying to find healthcare names that haven't exploded yet, and it's very difficult to find. All the options activity over the last 2 months, I would say 50% of the stuff that's working has been all in healthcare and biotech. And it's this one, you know, like a, what is it, WBA, you know, there's news of this one being bought out. You know, these stocks.
Going private or something.
Yeah, going private. These stocks are all trading huge. They're just huge to the upside. And it's, you know, I can tell you that, you know, that there's been a shift from technology stocks where usually you get the technology stocks that have all the options play, or all the options plays have been moving towards a lot of these healthcare names. So CVS is one of those names. I read an article how CVS, Walmart, they're all going to try to get into some healthcare stuff in their retail establishments. And that's the next $1 trillion business to tackle. And why not, right? If you can go to Walmart or CVS and go to the doctor while you're there and then buy the medicine when you get out, I mean, maybe those ideas work. But with CVS, I would say it's clearly something that you should be trying to protect up here at least a little bit. Just go Cycle here for a second. I just want to see what the market's saying.
UNH is another one, had a big run, but it seems to have peaked out a little bit around 280.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Let me just see.
And it's gone from 210 to 280 in a month and a half.
Yeah, all of these names.
Well, it was very undervalued versus the rest of the market. So people rotated out of the ones that were frothy and picked up the cheapies because they came to the conclusion that the demographics is more important than people talking about laws that haven't been passed yet. You know what I mean?
That's right. The other thing that I heard about, or that I just thought that there was a shift, was Obama. You know, you don't hear much from him, but I heard something last weekend, him say, Senator Warren and the other guy, like, calm down. Like, the American people don't want to just revamp the whole system, right? They want to meet you somewhere in the middle, but it doesn't need to be. So when Obama's trying to push back on Warren he's probably having meetings and, you know, with big money guys saying it's not going to happen, right? And don't worry about Warren, you know, messing things up. It's not going to happen. That the Democratic population is not going to vote for that.
I thought that his deal really fell by the wayside because of participation. And I always felt like if he wanted to make it really work, he should have made it like driver's insurance. I mean, car insurance, where if you have a license, you have to show health and auto insurance. And then he would have got the 23-year-olds who don't want to buy insurance because they're healthy to have to put in some dough. And right. Then because you can't work it with nobody between 20 and 30 buying any insurance. You know?
That's right. That's right.
And 70% of those are living at home, so they probably figure they don't need to buy it for that either. You know?
That's right. I think that the market's basically decided that they're not. That's not going to win the race. So they got to come up with a different plan that they're willing to. It's gotten so cheap. The sector got so cheap that they got to get involved.
The only sector left that's cheap is energy, and after today's action, it looks like it'll remain there.
Exactly. That and you know, every time they say retail, but I think, you know, energy will have its day.
Me too.
Right, it's getting there. And you know, you got the end of the year, so it's like they're selling all the losers, anything that's been going into the last month, they've been, you know, they're gonna lay into. You might see something there in January. I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing that. What I'm looking at essentially is healthcare. I'm looking to find plays that make sense, stocks that make sense, but I'm looking for a little bit of pullbacks here because some of these stocks have gone parabolic, including CVS, the WBA. But here's three biotech names that are on my radar. The first is Veritex. Okay, so that's a scary move, 165 to 215 in a few weeks. But if you go back and just look at a bigger picture, you could see that it hung out around this range for, you know, $20. I'd love to see a pullback, you know, here. I this was because they got approval on one of their drugs, or it happened 6 months earlier, and they got this approval, and so they have the CF market cornered. Once this happened, again, it's sort of the same thing. It's become this like new stock, right? No one knows what the revenues are going to be like. The analysts don't want to come out too bullish on the revenue numbers. They want to wait and see, but people are saying that it's too low right now, and as the quarter shapes up and as we start seeing the earnings release, you will start seeing these numbers will need to get ratcheted up higher. After the earnings came out, it was like 205. It went down to 195. I was playing for like a dollar. I want to kick myself, but you know, it just shot up to 215. There have been buyers of the 210 calls in December. That's what caught my eye. They've been there. I think this, you can even go out to April, you know, the 240 calls. This is one of those stocks where it has the potential to really fly, but I would like to get it back near 200. Okay, that's Veritex. The other one is AMT, AIMT, Immune Therapeutics, peanut allergies. So what's happened here in December, the stock was trading 25. The December 30 calls were being bought like 20,000 times. It caused a big flurry of call buying. The stock went from 25 to, 25 to almost 30 here. This move. It was call buying, and then it was just straight up. The stock has pulled back here a little bit. The interesting thing is that January options options have just come out because they didn't have the January options. They only had December and March. And so I think January options should get the FDA decision and an approval. If people who bought, the guys who bought December, they're looking for something in December. Maybe they have better information than the market. But if it doesn't happen by December expiration, it's likely that they will come in and start bidding up those January. So I think there's a play there to, instead of buying, they bought the Decembers for $1.25, $1.20, and now you can buy the Januaries that possibly have that event with for about $1.40. So that's the second name, AIMT. The third name, you know, that people like and it's been a flyer recently is Amarin. Again, this is I like it. I wish I bought it right when the news came out, had another $3-4, but you know, I think if you let this calm down for a little bit, it's still only a few days after the FDA made their comments. So I think right around the 21 level right here should be, you got huge volume here on one day, huge volume over here on another day. Let it come to like 21, 22. That's a stock to watch the upside. The other names that I'm looking at, Boston Scientific, if you look at, let's look at Medtronic, similar types of companies, but Medtronic stock is doing well. Call buyers in here. They just had earnings. Stock is up. It's sort of sideways here. All of healthcare moving higher. You know, it's a little bit of Medicare issues in here. So, you know, one to watch, but I like this one. There are call buyers there. Boston Scientific, very similar. Call buyers there. This one, I almost picked this one because of Medtronic. I'm not in there yet. This move here, this is just sideways move. Dipped lower. The market just bought it right back. Tried to come off again. They bought it back. It's right back to where it was here. So there are buyers in this name. I could see this name moving towards, you know, the 50 as long as healthcare stays big. The one thing that I would say about healthcare is that, and one more name before I finish, CNC. Okay, CNC is a name. Stock just took off. Okay, but if I look at some of these names, and you look at all these healthcare names, what I pointed out to the community at Options Geek was, if we look at these names and we look to see when they started buying, you see October 1st, right? It's very clear. They bought it on that day, right? They started buying it here and it just went straight up. And what's the only thing that I could think, because I was thinking, what happened here? I mean, what's really the driving force? To me, when 20 stocks just start moving on October 1st, first week in October, that's basically telling you what? It's basically telling you the big guys came in, they thought it's too cheap. They're not going to buy in September. They're waiting for the quarter to be over. October 1st comes up and they're saying, all right, we're getting into healthcare. How much? We're going to move, you know, we're right now we're underweight by 1500 basis points. We got to get back in there. And there you go. That's what happens to the stocks when the big guys decide altogether that they want to buy healthcare.
So all about positioning, right?
Positioning. Yeah. We can go back and forth on whether Obama said something, whether it was whether it was a comment here. At the end of the day, it's very straightforward. October 1st is when they came in to buy it. It's the beginning of the fourth quarter. They want to get in and there you go.
Yeah. I was listening. There was a biotech, I think, that had a bipolar drug that went up 500% this week. So, I mean, this is the wild, wild west as far as biotech, because the administration has clearly given the green light to, you know, pass a lot of different stuff.
I look at a lot of the unusual options, and I'll tell you, it's amazing. Over the last, I got to tell you, and it's just over the last, even the last 4 weeks, it's all biotech, and it's hard to, you know, sort of, are they going to do it? Are they going to make it? Are they not? You know, it's hard to invest in biotech options. It's very hit or miss. And, you know, unless you're seeing things, it's hit or miss. But one last name that I would throw out that's not healthcare. I was wrong on BABA. I picked some calls and got sideswiped here in September. During here, I just like this setup up here. It went straight down. Should have bought puts instead. Went straight down. But I have seen, you know, buyers come into the name in the last, you know, in the last 13F filings. So it's something, again, I look at to see where they're buying. And, you know, this stock is came off and it's trading right near 185. It's a good stock unless it's complete fraud. It's a good stock.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you look at who owns the stock. So I just go to holdingschannel.com. I think this is a great resource for people to sort of look who's holding the stock and get to know. I'm going to go straight over to the bottom. So I want to show you how. What I do is on the 13 apps, what I like about this site, and it's all free, I just jump on and bypass all this. What I'm looking at is, right, I very quickly, I just want to see, what were the changes? So Baba Holdings changes, and see here, you know, Magellan Asset Management, 15, they came in and bought 15 million shares. You know, they're in there. You think they're going to get out? I mean, they just bought 15 million. They're not getting out of that, right? These guys are big. They're huge players. Millennium Management, Millennium in New York, not a million shares they bought. These guys, smart money guys. And you can go one by one and start seeing who's actually buying, who's getting involved here. And you start seeing a few names that you like. And I think the listeners should spend some time, you know, knowing who these names are. Farallon Capital, really, really good name. Really good name. You got Farallon, Magellan. Farallon's in San Francisco and California. Magellan, I believe, might be out there as well. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, some solid names, you know, located in the right areas of town. You know, Fred Alger. Those are big. Bought 2.1 million shares. So
these are 13F filings?
13F filings, yeah. 13F filings. And these are changes from June to September. Changes right. From June to September. So this is something, again, holdings.com, it's free. I always go in there to start checking. You know, I look at a name and I just want to see what's actually going on. So I think, you know, the next time you get this is in February, what you'll probably see is all the healthcare names, you'll see these guys had come in, you know, some of the bigger names, they'll all have big inflows. So right now, I think you're seeing in real time, it's clear the stocks are moving higher in healthcare, they're up. But this Baba has really interesting names. You know, the stock came off, it's traded back. It's in this long-term triangle, if you will, you know, that I've been looking at for a long time. You know, it makes this huge move and then it just stays sideways for 2 years. You know, has this little dip, but came back up. So it's been 140, call it really 150 to 200 for 2 years. And we're trading back up here. It breaks 200, 210. This thing is going, in my opinion, 130, 130, 195, 65, 65, 213, breaks the high. It's 230 is not out of the question.
And the technicals don't look bad.
I like it. This is one I like. You know, I hate getting back into a stock that just beat me the way it did, but I like it. I keep looking at it. And, you know, I see Steve Cohen raising, you know, stake, Millennium raising their stake. And, you know, I'm liking it.
Yeah. And it's almost a half a trillion dollar company. So it's got a lot of market cap.
That's right. It's thick. Yes.
All right. Just for a couple of minutes here, let's just jump back to the list and pick a couple here. Those pot stocks, CRON. I don't know if there's anything.
I hate them all. The market just fooled. I mean, I don't know. See, this is what people need to be careful of. So the market, you know, just, there were call buyers here in October. They were buying for their earnings here. And there were a lot of call buyers, right? And what happened, or what looked like was going on, was there was call buyers. And then, you know, you subscribe to these news services. I do. I tried to like jump on a bunch of them just to see what's coming out there to people. And, you know, they're pitching these stocks. They're pitching every marijuana stock. It's like, this is it. It's over. The low is over. Low set. You know, and they're coming at rapid speed. So if I'm getting 10 of these emails to buy these marijuana stocks right around here, and then you see like somebody pumps in, you know, 20,000 calls, everybody raced for calls here. All the shorts, or if you were short, probably covered at least a little bit. How could you not with the stock moving up to 10%? And then it just collapsed. I mean, this reminds me, and I think I said it to you before the last time, is this is NASDAQ 2000, and you won't believe where these stocks will trade. You can't imagine how low they can actually go. You just can't imagine it. You know, Tilray, you just can't imagine it. It's one of those things where it has to be a complete washout. And until then, it's just going to keep doing this. I mean, you need it to actually make a strong move higher above this. It has to break this. This looks like, you know, when a plane's going down, you know, spiral, death spiral.
Another one similar to that is that Chewy. But let's talk about one real quick that I heard on the news that is heavily being shorted, and it's Bristol Myers Squibb, BMY. And it's actually coming off of a pretty good rally up to 59 area. And now it's only in the 56, but it started to break here today a little bit. Is there a sell opportunity here? Because they said it's one of the most heavily shorted stocks out there right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if it's on short interest. I'm not sure
it's 9% short interest according to my screen. And they did make that big purchase with Celgene or something like that?
Yes. So I can tell you that this was on my radar. I missed this one too. I mean, there's a lot of these. I was waiting for a pullback. There was massive call buying in Bristol Myers in January options. It's huge. I'll show you. Huge. So a lot of options are trading. So look at the 50s. They were buying the 50s, 52 and a half, 55, 57. These were all buys. They were buying these things. Looks like here long liquidation on 5,000. Looked like somebody was selling some. So it might just be that people were long calls and to lock in the position, they're shorting some stock. I don't know. Like why, you know, maybe, you know, these are millions of shares here. So someone could have just been like, all right, I'm going to short some stock here. But there's been only buyers in Bristol Myers, you know, calls over the last couple of months. And the stock's been going, well, I don't know what happened in the last couple of days. I did see this because I was there, you know, there was a 60 buyer too, like in April. And, you know, I saw it go here, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they're long, you know, the big money gets long somewhere around here. And as it goes up, they buy calls for a dollar. The 60 calls are only a dollar and it goes all the way up. And then they're basically selling it somewhere around here. And they're just left with 60 calls. So they take out this money. If you look here, they're taking out 48, 49 to 57, 58, and they're left with a dollar call. And that's it.
That's exactly a very interesting thing you bring to your attention, because people should learn more about that for sure. And the thing is there is something that looks like it is rolling over a bit on the technicals, at least. And then, of course, you're overbought versus the 200-day moving average. So this idea that people are doing some selling up here is not far-fetched. No?
Yeah. And here's the top. Here's gap, resistance, breakout, gap. Market likes gaps. It's like a target. It's like this target on its back. 53.15. That's a target. That's the market saying, you know what? Let's see if you really want to buy the stock. We'll hit 53.15. And it will test you, see what you want to do. So I could see it. I could see it going down to 53. I'd like to see how it reacts right here, right in that range.
The 50 days at $52, so it's in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, and this 200 days started to turn this way. So this could just simply be one of those things where it just, you know, floats around here. By February, it's trading 54. You have one bad day, and you know, makes its next move up if they like healthcare.
All right, real quick, one last one. Advanced Micro Devices, the thing trades 94 million shares, so there must be a couple of guys out there who are interested in what the hell's going on here. It clearly just made a 52-week high today, and the question is this break above 35 going to last, or are we going to come back down and test it and then go? What do you think?
You know, I think, you know, you've been around the block as well. It's like when you start seeing these semiconductors go, it's like a Mack truck. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high it's gone. It can go double that amount, right?
It starts smelling like .com. Again.
Exactly. These semis, when they go, they have no conscience. They have zero conscience. And it looks so bad. I was watching this stock. I was almost going to buy calls. It looked so bad over here at $28. And I didn't do anything. I was frozen. I couldn't do anything. And I saw call buying, but I just thought, oh, they're just buying some calls because they're just puking out stock here every day for, you know, about 2 weeks was not so good, just heavy. And then all of a sudden it's game over. Right. And I don't, this is something, again, you could just do those types of put spreads. This is a break. This is a huge breakout. You know, you're talking about a high in 2018, high here in 2019. You know, you can do that 5-point put spread if you want. Could it come back? I mean, this stock could trade 36 easily. It could easily get there. You know, it doesn't look like it. It's such a move. Yeah, it's such an extreme move. You know, it's something that I would not short this name. I would not even try to buy just puts. I would simply say, you know what, 40, my range over here, my risk right now before we start seeing some buyers who are going to protect this thing is around 34 and a half, 36. You know, I just want to protect that range, right? So I'm going to hold the stock. If I'm long and I don't want to sell it, I'm going to do something like the 40, 46, and I got to give something up. And maybe I give, you know, the 44s or 45s, whatever it is. And I'm going to look to play. That's the risk reward. The risk is really around $6 here down, but the reward in these things is, I mean, it's people say, yeah, it's got to calm down. down. It's got to rest. These things don't. They don't. These semis, they really don't.
As we come to the top of the hour, I think a couple of things right off the bat I'd like everyone to remember is that you've got a lot of different ways of looking at the markets that I have not heard everybody else talking about. The 13F filings for one, and how to manage a stock position using the options so that when and if a market is ending its move one way or the other, you can try to reduce your risk or do something to change the risk before the market gives back whatever you've gotten.
That's
so,
right.
You know, again, real briefly, again, background on yourself, but more important, how to get a hold of you, Felix, and how you could maybe help these guys learn some of these different ways that you approach the market.
Sure. So, again, my email address, first of all, people can ask me questions directly, is felix@optionsgeek.com. I created Options Geek with education tools and trading ideas, my own, that I get from Unusual Options Volume. But I have put out some tremendous material out there for free on my blog at Options Geek. And I think it's some of the best educational material out there, and it's free. And I allow you to ask me questions, and feel free to contact me at any time.
Okay. And definitely everyone should take advantage of that, because obviously you have got a lot of experience, and this stuff is different than what they're looking at. And some of these things could be very helpful in their decision making, no question about it. I do have a market update every week that I send out by email. And so for those who'd like to hear about what I'm seeing as far as in the stocks, the bonds, the U.S. dollar, gold, silver, as well as oil and agriculture, we go around the horn and I update that once a week. So that's optionprofessor@gmail.com. I definitely want to thank Felix for being here. I've been in the business quite a long time, and he adds something to my knowledge every single time. So I'm sure he can add something to yours. So do check him out and get the information. Right now, I'm going to send it back over to David. And again, thank you very much, Felix, for being here today.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate being here.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network so you can get the recordings of all the episodes as soon as they're posted. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the recordings there. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Felix Fry. Sorry, I mispronounced your name earlier, but Felix Fry of OptionsGeek.com and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.